Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
That last name is, it takes me a while to get used to as well. I'm honored and excited to really be preaching to you guys tonight. But first, before I begin, can I ask everyone to move to the front? Make sure that there is no empty space next to you. That means you should be sitting next to a person. So if you're in the back, I see that there is like a gaping hole right here. Fill it, please. There's three spots right here. Yeah, I used to be a welcoming team leader, so I have this aversion to empty holes, like empty seats. All the welcoming team members, y'all feel me? Yeah? All right. So my name is Anna Korpening, and I am glad to be here with you guys, especially after our two all-night prayer meetings. This is our first Friday Fire coming together to really continue to pray and continue to ride on that momentum that God poured out in our all-night prayer meetings. Can you guys turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 17? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 17. And I'm going to read it for you guys, so follow along with me quietly. It says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an internal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." I'm going to read verse 17 one more time. It says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." The title of my message today is called The Wisdom of Pain. The wisdom of pain. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, I just thank you for this opportunity to gather to seek your face as a corporate body. And I thank you, Father, that as you have been faithful in showing the full character of who you are, I pray, Father, that we will not turn a blind eye to certain characteristics of who you say to be, but God, we will embrace the fullness of your being and we will embrace the fullness of your word. So, Lord, I just speak ears to hear, open hearts, that we will receive your word. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So most of us, we want to live a good life, right? Yeah? So when we talk about good life, now there's nothing wrong with that, but usually good means comfortable. And comfortable means a life without pain. So when we think of our families or our loved ones, we want our loved ones to experience a life without pain, to live a comfortable, successful life, right? But God has designed pain so that it prepares us to live a life of perseverance and power. You know, there's a disease called the CIPA, and this is a disease where people cannot feel physical pain. That might sound really good in the beginning, you know, like people that can walk over hot coals like it's nothing. People can walk over sharp glass like it's nothing. But it's not a blessing, but rather it's a problem because these types of people live under constant threat that something might happen to them without them knowing. All right. So for an example, I was like, oh yeah. For example, this person with CIPA might step on a rusty nail. And because they have this disease where they don't feel any physical pain, they can continue walking, but all of a sudden this rusty nail goes into their bloodstream and it can affect and jeopardize their life. They might put their hand on a burning stove and they have no idea that their hand is burning flesh until they look down and they see it, but they can't feel it. So there's this constant threat that something harmful might happen to them, but they will have no idea what is going on. I was reading an article about this disease, and there's an interview of a kid named Isaac, and this kid has this disease, and the parents were saying how this little kid keeps on just falling. Like, he falls from, like, tables, he falls from high places, he just keeps falling because he likes the sensation of falling. And he lands on his face, like, he completely, like, just lands on his arm, but he likes and he thinks it's funny because he feels no pain. And then one day, he fell, and his dad realized that the kid had broken his leg because the leg was twisted out like this, but the kid had no idea because he had no physical pain. So the parents had to teach Isaac, "Isaac, when you see blood, that's bad. You need to learn to say owie, because owie means that it hurts. Blood is bad." So they had to teach him vocabulary of things like owie, ouch, it hurts, because he had no idea what pain was. He could not feel pain. So pain is vital for our survival. And pain not only saves our lives, but gives us power to live a fruitful and effective life. Pain is inevitable. Many Christians, you know, and I'm guilty of myself, we embrace this comfortable life of when we accept God, things are going to be good, it's going to be coasting, you know. And I'm guilty of this because I attended church ever since I was young. I grew up in one of the biggest Korean-American churches on the East Coast, where there was program after program. It was just learning the Bible. And I never really went through something that was extremely painful. And I figured that when I have God on my side, nothing could go wrong. And I had this idea of God, an idea of Christianity, but, you know, sermons that's been recently going out really challenges my view of God. That God is not only a God of love and mercy and kindness, but he's also a God of judgment. He's a God of justice. He's a God that cannot stand sin, so he will pour out wrath. This is the type of God that he is, all-encompassing God. And when God gave up his only son, he did not promise a pain-free gospel. He did not promise a painless gospel where once you believe in Jesus, you will live a comfortable life. He did not promise a life free of suffering, but he did promise a gospel full of power. And that power includes going through trials, suffering for the sake of his name, because there is power in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 48:10 says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." And today I want to search scripture with you to show you three points of how there is wisdom in pain. My first point is this: choosing pain first will benefit in pleasure later. I'm going to say that one more time. Choosing pain first will benefit in pleasure later. The opposite of this is also true. Choosing pleasure first will result in great pain later. Okay, so turn with me to Proverbs 14:14. It's just one verse, so once you're there, let's read it all together, okay? Proverbs 14:14. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways." If we constantly choose pleasure after pleasure, comfort after comfort, ease after ease, we will be filled with the fruit of our ways. It says the backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. Now, the definition of pleasure is the source of enjoyment or delight. And there's nothing wrong in pleasure. I find great pleasure in watching a movie, hanging out with my husband, hanging out with my friends, you know, and traveling to different countries. There's different pleasures that we enjoy, right? But when we place our pleasure above what God calls us to do, then that's when it is wrong. And many times, because we don't want the pain of growing and getting sharpened, we have an inclination to choose pleasure instead of pain. But 2 Corinthians 4, this verse that we just read earlier, it says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." So Paul is writing this, and he's saying, this light momentary affliction. Now, Paul, the trials and the suffering that he went through, it is not light. It is not momentary. He is a man that was abandoned at sea. He was a man that was whipped to the point of death. He was a man that was stoned. So the trials that he went through as he's writing this, he's saying it is light and it is momentary. And I remember when I read this verse the first time, I was like so confused, because how can you call your trials light and momentary when you're going through such great suffering? But he's saying it is light because there's an eternal weight of glory that comes beyond my suffering. So he did not let his pain stop him from delivering the gospel. Why? Because he saw it as light and momentary. You know, many of you guys know that I went to Busan to do a church plant. And doing a church plant is hard. And it was, for me, extremely painful at the moment. When I first went, it was painful. Why? Because I had to make sacrifices. I had to give up certain things. There was uncertainty if I was going to get a job or meet new friends. There was a lot of things that I had to let go and go through so that I can put kingdom first. But it was painful. But after 2 years of doing that, that pain later on reaped great rewards. There were things that became so pleasurable for me. I started to make friends in Busan that were so deep, were so life-giving. And I grew in character. Like, man, I was rough around the edges, you know, when I went to Busan. But I grew so much. I began to know the Lord. But also, when I came back from Busan, which started to become an area of pleasure to me, back to Seoul, it was painful. Why? Because I came to Seoul to start the intern pastor program, and it was painful. Like, I had to go to seminary. Like, why am I going back to school in my late 20s, you know? I can't hold a pencil anymore. I type. Like, it was painful. Working on staff, like, living situation, all of, like, you know, it was just painful. I had to learn how to die to myself and be humble and be teachable. You guys are laughing, but, you know, like, I grew through that. It was painful, but I reaped pleasure afterwards. Getting married, I recently got married. And yes, there is joy, but sometimes there's also pain. You know, there's certain times when we fight and we argue, like, I want to say certain things because I know that it will give me great pleasure. It will give me a lot of pleasure saying it at that moment. But I know that if I say that now and experience that now, then I will experience great pain afterwards. So when we choose pain first, you're able to reap great pleasure after. But if we are inclined to choose what we are comfortable with first, pleasure first, in the end, there might be great pain. Proverbs 21:17 says, "Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich." Luke 8:14 says, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature." There is no maturation without pain. We cannot mature. We cannot grow. We cannot be sharpened. We cannot increase. We cannot know the full heart of God if we do not go through trials and suffering. There is no maturation without pain. Charles Spurgeon said it like this: "I am certain that I never did grow in grace one half so much anywhere as I have upon the bed of pain." Another quote from a really famous Christian said, "I am not a theologian or a scholar, but I am very aware of the fact that pain is necessary to all of us. In my own life, I think I can honestly say that out of the deepest pain has come the strongest conviction of the presence of God and the love of God." And this is spoken by a woman named Elizabeth Elliot. And this is a woman that lost her husband, Jim Elliot, to a tribe in South America. They martyred her husband, and she went through such deep pain. And she could have stayed in that pain, and no one would have ever, you know, said anything about it, because she lost her husband. That's painful. That pain is real. But as she went through that pain, her and another missionary's wife, they went back to the tribe that killed her husband and spread the gospel so that that tribe can know who Jesus is. And it was through her sacrifice, through her embracing God through that pain, where she was able to deliver the gospel and people received the truth. And that leads me to my second point. Second point of why, of how there's wisdom in pain: embracing God through the pain. We have to be aware that aware of pain and know that pain will come. I think as Christians, if we think that we're going to be completely comfortable, completely at ease, we're going to be severely disillusioned when endings come. And I think, you know, that's what Pastor Christian was preaching. The sermons that's been going out all over this summer is to prepare us, is to ready us so that we are not disillusioned, so that we don't fall away. So we have to be aware of the pain and know that pain will come. And if you are unaware of the pain, you won't be able to persevere and be strong. Knowing the cost of pain will prepare you to be committed and stay strong. Pastor Christian gave this example at one of our staff meetings. And he said that when pregnant women are taken into the Korean hospitals, they are given an amount of epidural to alleviate that pain. But the amount of epidural that they give in Korean hospitals differ from the amount of epidurals that American hospitals give. Korean hospitals give you epidural, but just enough so that you can still feel pain. And that pain, that feeling of pain, is important so that you have the urgency to give birth. The baby has to come out. And with that, without that pain, that baby will not come out. In America, women are wanting the epidural so much. They don't want that pain so much that they give so much that they don't feel any pain. And without this feeling of pain, they have no urgency to give birth. And as he was sharing that, I just got... It was just so full of revelation that I went and researched on my own. And I read different articles talking about the benefits of natural birth and, you know, the benefits of epidural. And, you know, I'm not pregnant, so, like, no reason why I'm researching this, but solely for this sermon. And also, I, you know, can't point fingers on women that did get epidural because I have no idea what that experience is like. But just to read the benefits of both, you know, both sides. With the epidural, there you definitely feel less pain. But there's this article that The Guardian wrote. The title of it says, "It's good for women to suffer the pain of a natural birth." And in it, this doctor that was interviewed said that when a woman gives natural birth, the pain in them connects them to the brain so that the mother is prepared for motherhood. That pain of giving birth naturally gives her a preparation to be a mother. And when you give natural birth, you're able to walk up and stand around immediately. The after effects of giving birth are very swift. It's really quick. But when you get an epidural, the recovery time takes very long. That pain, sometimes what we go through, is very real. And it's in our face. But pain is important so that we sense the urgency of the hour. You know, when Jesus was dying on the cross and he was being crucified, he felt pain. He felt pain. And the pain that he was going through was very real. But through it all, he did not focus on the pain, but rather, like Paul said, he said, this is a light, momentary affliction. I want everyone to turn with me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Now, Psalm 22 is written from, David is speaking this out, but this is a prophetic psalm through the voice of Jesus. So as I'm reading this, I want you to hear the voice of Jesus through this chapter. Psalm 22, I'm just going to read a couple verses, verse 1 through 5 first, and just follow along with me. And imagine Jesus is on the cross, and God sent him so that we can be accepted. We can find salvation through his son by the blood that cleanses us from all sin. And as he's going through this, there's a pain that he is experiencing. The nails that are plugged into his hands and into his feet, the thorns that is pushed down upon his head, the cloggings that he received from the whippings on his back. And as he's going through this, he is sitting there in anguish and in suffering. And many times we go through suffering and pain in our lives. And it's written from a place of honesty. Here, David writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Go to verse 14. It says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a posture, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. And if some of you guys in here have gone through real pain, it is written here in scripture that Jesus went through pain and he knows what that pain is like. And there is not a disqualification of your pain. But through this pain, you can see that David and Jesus essentially is accepting and embracing God. They're not looking at the pain that is before them and looking at the anguish that they're going through, but rather looking at the glory that is set before them. It says here in verse 22, there's a shift that happens as he's being honest before God. God, my bones are like my bones are out of joint. I'm poured out like water. I am going through hardness. I'm going through suffering, but I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted. And he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. And this is my third point of how there is wisdom in pain. There is pain, but the focus of the pain is not pain. The focus is the glory that comes after. The focus is the glory. And Paul writes that there is an eternal weight of glory. You know, when the end times comes and there's going to be shakings, there's going to be pain that we will experience. We cannot discount ourselves from suffering and from pain. We have to embrace the pain. Embrace that God is in the pain and he sees our anguish and our sufferings. But the focus here is not the pain, but rather the glory. You know, the Hebrew word for glory is, the meaning of it is weight. There's a weightiness. And when Paul writes that my momentary affliction is light, he's giving a contrast. What I'm going through, this pain is so real, but it's so light. It's so light. It's not even on me. I can carry it. It's light. But the glory that I will experience with you, the glory that I will see with you, the glory as I am in communion and fellowship with God, it is heavy. It is heavy. There is a weight to it. And the glory is so great that I cannot stand on my feet because there is a heaviness to this glory. And a while, the pain that I go through, it is momentary. It is just for a moment. When a mother gives birth, she goes through pain, but that pain is momentary. It is but an instant. Paul writes that the glory that I receive with you, it is eternal. It is boundless. It is infinite. And I believe that as people of God, if we have an aversion to pain, if we have an aversion and a dislike to choosing God first, what he tells us to do, no matter how much it might hurt, then we will run away from the gospel. But rather, if we choose what is painful now, we will reap great pleasure and great rewards after. You know, sowing season is coming up. And there might be times when you don't want to go. There might be times when you don't want to come to church. There might be times when you don't want to come to Friday Fire. And it might be painful to wake up in the morning to seek his face. It might be painful to fast food. That might give you pain, and that pain is real, yes. But the glory that is to be experienced as we continue on with the name of God, it is eternal. And it is everlasting. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. There is value in pain, and we need pain because it is necessary to mature. We cannot mature and we cannot grow without pain. And when we make a commitment to choose pain, and by this, I'm saying when we make a commitment to seek God first, we will reap pleasure. We will reap reward after. Do not be swayed by the shakings of this world, and do not be disillusioned when pain comes and forfeit the gospel, but rather suffer, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And right now, if you have been choosing pleasure and comfort rather than choosing pain, rather than choosing God and putting him before above everything else, I want you to repent right now. We need to come before him and repent. God, I am sorry. I am sorry for choosing pleasure. I'm sorry for putting my flesh first. I'm sorry for choosing my desire first. God, even though it might be painful in this moment, I choose to choose pain because I know that through it, you will give me an endurance. You will give me strength. You will give me character. And you will give me hope in you. Come on, let's pray. Open your mouths. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to seek His face.